Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and now a community call-in for anyone with a connection to Turkey. If you know Turkey, please call in and explain to the rest of us what's going on over there. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And as I said, Steve Call of The New Yorker is staying with us for a few minutes because he knows that region, and he's going to put a little bit of what's happening in Turkey into context for us as the days of protests there and clashes with police are making headlines around the world. And we'll take your calls if you have ties to Turkey on what you're hearing about these protests. A community call-in for anyone with a connection to Turkey. Call us up right now and you'll get on the air. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And we'll do all that right after this. Brian Lehrer on WNYC with a community call-in for anyone with a connection to Turkey. If you know Turkey, please call in and explain to the rest of us what's going on with the protests there. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And just to give us a little shove into this, Steve Call from The New Yorker, before you go, and I know you got to go and get back to the rest of your life here in a minute, but Turkey is so important to the region that it's in and to the world, the long east-west bridge from Europe to the Mideast, and, you know, a Muslim but secular democracy that many Westerners like to see as a model for an observant but not Islamist nation. It has pretty good relations with Israel. It's become a refugee haven for Syrians. Turkey has long considered itself both part of the Muslim world and part of Europe. Is it in that context that we have to ask ourselves how important is this?
Absolutely. No, you describe it well. And Turkey is an increasingly successful and confident democracy, but it's also a divided society, and that's part of what this protest movement reflects. Turkey was founded on the basis of an ardent secularism at the beginning of the 20th century, and today it's led by President Erdogan, who is trying to style a form of public faith in Turkish politics that challenges the secular traditions of the country and has left a lot of people behind, especially those in the urban middle class who see the Islamists that Erdogan leads as a threat to their privileges, to their power, but also to their way of life. And it's a little bit hard to grasp from the outside how subtle and deep some of these divisions are. We tend in the West to talk about Erdogan as an authoritarian, but you know the Turks and people who live in Turkey, who I hear talk about these protests, say, "Well, no, he's not. It's not like he's a dictator. He has authoritarian arrogance about him." And people have gotten in the last couple of weeks to call him a majoritarian. That is, he won three elections fair and square.
Yeah, right.
But he tends to interpret his 52% as a mandate to rule absolutely, and that's some of what is fueling the emotion of the protesters, that they don't feel that the election yielded a president of all Turks. It yielded a president of the party of 52%.
So is this a case of secular Muslims being out in the streets, by and large, to protest a too Islamist-leaning prime minister?
It's complicated, but yes, his political opposition, though very fragmented, is mostly from the secular tradition, which has also included periods of military rule in Turkey. Of course, the army in Turkey has long been a very, very important institution and was for a long time the guarantor of the ardent secular ideas of Ataturk and the Turkish tradition. It, in some ways, Erdogan has marginalized the army. He has put significant numbers of generals on trial. And so the political networks that range from secular democratic to sort of liberal Europeans, pro-Europeans, to those connected to the era of military rule are part of this fragmented opposition, and it's some of their supporters are out in the street. But just finally, I mean, as with a lot of these Arab Spring social media-fueled spontaneous protests over the last couple of years, including outside of the Muslim world in places like India, you know, there's an indeterminate quality to the sense of rage or protest movement that unfolds so quickly. There's a desire for reform, for inclusive decision making, and opposition to corruption that can sometimes be inchoate, but it really moves people.
Steve Call from The New Yorker and the author of Private Empire, ExxonMobil, and American Power. Thanks so much for all the insight and opinion today. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure, Brian.
And let's go to this community call-in on Turkey. If you know Turkey, please call in and explain to the rest of us what's going on. 212-433-WNYC. Joe in Manhattan, thanks so much for calling. You're a dual citizen between our two countries?
Yes, yes, I am. And thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
This government, which was elected in 2002, the AKP government, it's been a very slow and careful process of really trying to change Turkey and really sort of unravel the basis of what is a secular republic. So really what's been happening in the last few days or week should not come as a surprise. Turkey, America, the American media, the media in general want to portray Turkey as a model of Islamic moderation. But really, it doesn't exist when there's a theocracy, when you really start to blend a religion and a state. And people are finally sort of waking up in Turkey and seeing that their freedoms have been slowly curtailed for the last 10 years.
Do you think that this holds implications for the actual Arab Spring nations, which are coming out of actual dictatorships? That is, if the Erdogan government, and I understand he's term limited out after next year, but still hopes to exert a lot of influence behind the scenes, if they succeed in imposing more and more Islamism in the government, that this might affect what happens in Egypt, what happens in Syria, et cetera?
I'm not so sure about that. I don't know how much the Arab Spring has necessarily affected what's happening in Istanbul right now or in Turkey right now either. One worries because normally these things don't end up with the government backing down.
Yeah.
So one worries about what's going to happen in Turkey in the next few weeks.
Joe, thank you so much. Omer in Montville, you're on WNYC. Hi, Omer. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I was in Turkey last week, and one of the precursors to this event was that it was May 19 holiday. During that time, the government discouraged people, especially in Ankara, to display the Turkish flag. I think that's a national pride issue becoming and more prevalent in these demonstrations too. And also another thing going on is that the government is trying to change the constitution and try to convert more to a presidential government, which will give Erdogan a chance to hold on to power. That was the discussions of this was going on in the news. So
right, because he could, he's prime minister and he's term limited out, but he could come back theoretically as president, which isn't president in the way we think of it. It's more of a ceremonial position. But from what I've seen, he wants to try to have it restructured so he could move into that position and then have it give him real power. What's the meaning in the way that you refer to it of the Turkish flag? Who's using it to symbolize what?
It's a national way of seeing, expressing your pride, and it's usually displayed prevalently during any national holidays. And what I was, there were some demonstrations in Ankara and other places where the government discouraged the display of flags and even canceled some of the typical parade that they hold during those days, during May 19 holidays.
Because they didn't want nationalism regarding their own government's country on display?
Yes.
Because the sense of Turkishness would then compete with the sense of being Muslim, or is that not it?
It competes against the secular movement that Kemal Atatürk's lead and all of the what we see about it versus their view of the world and more Muslim country perspective.
Uh-huh. Omer, thank you very much. Corey, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi. I wanted to add to this great conversation. Thank you for having it.
Thank you.
Well, basically what I wanted to say is that what's going on in Turkey is essentially a fight for its life. What's going on is that the secular government in Turkey is being slowly eroded by Mr. Erdogan. And really, the most important thing to realize here that everybody in Turkey, mostly everybody in Turkey, 99%, let's just say, is Muslim. It doesn't really make any difference. And I don't think the Arab Spring has any bearing on the population at this point. I think what's really important to understand is that Mr. Erdogan is trying to impose his idea of how a legal system should work. And his idea of a legal system stems from Sharia law. It stems from the Quran. And my question to anybody who doubts secularism, who doubts how powerful a thing Mr. Mustafa Kemal introduced to Turkey and to entirely the whole world, is what lawyer can you get against God? Where can you get a lawyer? How can you defend yourself in a court of law against the word of God? And that is the question that I'm really asking. And as we can see, every day, by discouraging nationalism, by limiting sales of alcohol after 10 p.m., by doing all these things, putting military generals in jail, not celebrating days that mark nationalism and Mustafa Kemal, this man is trying to erode the secular system and put in a system that is more favorable to his views. And I don't know what is going to happen, but Turkey is in a fight for its life. And unfortunately, I believe, essentially, people are just starting to wake up, but I'm afraid it's too late.
Corey, thank you very much. I appreciate your heartfelt position. And there it is, folks, some views from the ground with people who are from Turkey or who have family in Turkey and ancestors in Turkey, a community call-in explaining to the rest of us what's going on over there, and we certainly heard it from the heart as well as from the head from our callers, and we again thank Steve Cole from The New Yorker for kicking us off with some other context. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We turn the page now, and when we come back, urban librarians. Librarians in the streets. We'll talk about street theater and your public library. Next, stay with us.